Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 7. Begin reading there. The Bible says, "And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight, that thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun." And David said unto Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And Nathan said unto David, "The Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die." You may be seated. May the good Lord add his blessings to the reading of the scripture. Let me say tonight, I'm not on, brother. Don't know what's going on. Light ain't coming on. Amen. If you want to run back there and get a battery, that'd be good. You can get me on this till I get up there, brother. Anyway, here in these verses of scripture, let me just say by introduction, you don't get by with sin. Never get by with sin. I've often wondered several years ago, you've heard me say it, amen, here at Going Home Church, why the Lord wouldn't give me a lot of sermons on heaven. Matter of fact, I thought I might get to preach on heaven tonight. But you know what? The Lord just nudged me one day and said, well, if there wasn't sin, you'd get to preach on heaven a lot more. But you know what? They say that Jesus talked more about hell, amen, but you know, than heaven. And I don't know who this message is for tonight. It ain't up to me to know. But I'm going to give you what I feel like the Lord has laid upon my heart. But you cannot get by with sin. As I was thinking about this, just by introduction, of course, we know the story here. I didn't read the whole story, but we know how that David, amen, sinned with Bathsheba. If David would have been where he needed to be, if he'd have been, amen, on, his duty, amen, that was in battle, amen, with his men, if he'd have been where he needed to have been, he wouldn't have got to the place, amen, and he wouldn't have ended up, amen, committing that sin, amen, against God, amen, and against his family, against his home, amen. And I don't know what the outcome would have been, but it had been a lot better, amen, than what his outcome is going to be. As I got thinking about this, of course, we know that he had Bathsheba's husband Uriah putting the forefront of the battle, the hottest part of the battle, and of course had him killed, amen. And then, of course, he gets with Uriah. But you know that, hey, judgment came to the house of David. And David sinned against God. But you know what the Bible says here? Let me find my verse. I was going to take the text out of tonight. But the Bible says here in verse number 10, it says, "Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife." I want to just think about this. In other words, just by introduction, not the sword, amen, God said the sword would never leave his house.
Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You said, but preacher, I thought David repented. I thought David, yeah, if you roll back and read Psalm 51, we'll find, amen, the repentance. We'll find out how that David, amen, repented of his sin. And his sin, he talks about his sin being ever before him. But here in these verses of Scripture, he said here the sword, amen, would never leave his house. I'm talking about tonight, amen, they may be some things, amen, in our life. There may be some things, amen, that we could have prevented, amen, from happening, amen, if we'd have just, how many wish you'd have saved years ago? I wish I'd have got saved before I got saved. And I got saved a young man, but I wish I'd have done things different. There's two things, though, before I get in the Word of God or before I get in the message, amen. Here's what I'm going to preach on. Some things you'll never get over. Some things in this life that you'll never get over. But there's two things before I get to that. There's some things, amen, I don't want to get over. Number one, tonight, I'm glad. Like, I don't want to never get over when God saved me. How many know tonight, amen, that you're saved, amen, without a shadow of a doubt, you're saved. I like to see here, without a shadow of a doubt, you're born again. I don't want to never get over, amen. Hey, that night that I knelt down in an old-fashioned altar and I gave my heart and life to the Lord, I want to say, thank God I didn't have to go. I didn't have to sign a card, amen. I didn't have to, amen, recite a prayer, although I did pray, but I didn't have to read it off a card. I didn't have to read it off a track. I'm thankful, amen, that, hey, I'm thankful to this tonight, amen, that I, amen, I'm saved, and I don't want to never get over being born again, amen. I believe if you ever get saved, you ever get God a part of your life, amen, that's something that you'll cherish, amen, to the day you die. And as I get thinking about that, listen, you say, preacher, what do you save from? I don't have to die and go to a place called hell, amen. I thank God for salvation, amen. I like that old song, I got it that way, hallelujah. Had an old-fashioned altar that day. I don't know all the song, but I'll just say I'm glad I got in the old-fashioned way, Kathy. Amen. Glory to God. I've seen some old tapes of, matter of fact, I seen one the other day. Amen. It was the Foster Brothers at Mount Calvary, Free Will Baptist Church out there. Amen. Now, matter of fact, I taped it that morning. It was the homecoming. You remember the old church? I know you do. You remember the old church? Hey, you folks do. Amen. The Foster Brothers, amen, were there singing that morning. I seen your slim husband. Hallelujah. Now you can go home and tell him I said that, praise the Lord. Amen. I seen your slim husband. I think, wasn't he on that video that morning? Amen. Hey, going to, hey, and had her. Hallelujah. And he was going to the altar. I think he might have went himself. He was praying for somebody else. But you know what? Amen. Listen, I'm glad I got in, amen, when the getting in was good. Now, I'm not saying the getting in ain't good now, but I'm glad, thank God, that I was raised, amen, to where the Holy Ghost power conviction came down. Amen. Thankful for the day. I don't want to never get over, amen, the day that Jesus saved my soul. Somebody said, why do you save from? Hell is what I'm saved from. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And listen, I didn't have to, like I said a while ago, sign a card or join the church. Thank God I got in because, amen, I repented of my sin and the blood of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, washed my sin away. I'm thankful for that. Listen, thank God I received mercy. Thank God I received, amen, the grace, amen, of God. Hey, secondly, I don't want to get over the times the Holy Ghost has filled me. Whoa, somebody said, preach you in a free will church. Yeah, but I still believe in the filling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. What do you mean, fill the times? Preacher, that's plural. That's not singular. You said that right. What do you mean, the times the Holy Ghost has filled you? Well, first of all, something big as the Holy Ghost, amen, can convict me. Hey, he's with me now. All God's people saying. But there's been times in my ministry and times in my life, I don't want to never forget the times that I felt, hallelujah, and I've experienced, amen, the feeling, amen, of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about him passing by my way and filling me, amen, to the brim. Can I get an amen right there? How many has ever, hey, how many's had that experience? Praise God. Boy, I like it. I ain't saying it to uplift me. Hey, there's nothing in me, but I like it. I remember going out one door of the church one night, coming back in the other door of the church one night. I like it like that. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. Then you need to pray to God to give you. Listen, I thank God, amen, for the feeling of the Holy Ghost of God that He allows me to enjoy. There's times, amen, I've shouted. There's times I caught myself one night preaching to the wall of the choir, amen. Hey, in Bethel Church, amen. I'm not saying that. Why, preacher? Because, listen, I yielded my life to God. And by the way, that was a feeling of the Holy Ghost. Why don't we see more of that? Why don't we see more of that? I don't want to never forget those times that I knew it was God, amen, that indwelt me, that the Holy Ghost, amen, held me, that the Holy Ghost comforted me, that the Holy Spirit, I don't want to never forget those, amen. Hey, sister, you ever been filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm talking about at a specific time in your life, in your adult Christian life, that God, amen, has overpowered you and the Holy Ghost has filled you with His presence. How many can say that you've experienced that? I know you don't have to act like I do when I get it. Hey, amen. It don't mean you got to run. That don't mean you got to shout. Hey, amen. But you'll know it if it ever happens. See, and I want to say I thank God. Hey, amen. I don't want to never forget those indwelling times. Amen. The feeling of the Holy Ghost of God. Boy, until when Rex Real gets up here and gets filled. And I'm talking about experiencing the feeling of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I can tell, amen, when certain people, amen, in the church gets in tune with God and experiencing the feeling of the Holy Ghost. How many knows what I'm talking about? Hey, we need to ask God. We need to thank God, amen, that we never forget, amen, how the Lord blesses us, amen. Hey, you know to the touch of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank God when He fills you. Amen. Hey, thank God that He touched me one day. But you can get to the place, amen, as David did, amen, that if you're not careful. Now, David was saved. David got right with the Lord. David repented of his sin. Amen. But the Bible says that the sword would never depart, amen, from his house. David never got over that sword. David never got over. There's things in our life. There may be people here tonight that you're sitting here and you're saying, preacher, there's things in my wicked, sinful life that I'll never get over. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Hey, the devil never lets you forget, amen, your past. Amen, there's scars, amen, that we have to carry with us through this life. But listen to me. I'm glad, thank God, that there's victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. No, make no difference where you've been, what you've done, how bad you think you are. Jesus still loves you, amen. But sometimes we have to carry that cross. We got to carry that sword with us. What are you saying, preacher? I really had never thought about that much. Amen. But let me tell you something. David never got over it. His child died. Nathan warned him. The messenger of God was sent. David died. Amen. No doubt broke his heart. Sword was still there. Amen. Listen to me. Hey, there's different times in David's lives. The sword, amen, was still prevalent. Amen. To come by his way. Amen. David had a sword that he never got over. Some things you'll never get over. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. Number one, what are they, preacher? You'll never get over. Amen. Wasted youth. You'll never get over wasted youth. No wonder the Ecclesiastes tells us to remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. That the evil days come not. No wonder he tells us, amen. If I'd had to do it over, I'd have gotten church quicker. Amen. I'd have served the Lord. Amen. Before, can I get a witness right there? Wasted youth, you'll never get over. How many wish you could go back and get saved earlier than you did? If you did, raise your hand. Oh, you listen to this preacher, amen, tonight. Hey, amen. How many regrets of sin do we have? I'm talking about the wickedness, amen. The prodigal Bible teaches us wasted his life. Amen. There in Luke 15 with riotous living. He came to his father and said, I want my portion of the inheritance. Amen. Hey, glory to God. Then what did the dad do? Dad give it to him. Let me tell you something. Hey, God won't knock you in the head and make you do right. Amen. The father there, amen, is a good example of God. Amen. He gave the boy exactly what he asked for. Some people think, amen, before they die, God's going to knock their loved ones in the head with a ball bat and drag them, amen, into heaven. I got news for you. All God's people saying, hey, brother, hey, Adam, amen, if you don't want to go to heaven, you ain't going. I've heard comments made before, well, I'm going to heaven if I don't want to or not. I got news for you. You ain't going to heaven if you don't want to. Amen. Somebody said, well, this as long as I make it by the skin of my teeth. Let me tell you something. I want to make it, hey, beyond, amen, the skin of my teeth. Amen. I just don't want to, quote, slip in. Amen. By the way, you ain't going to slip in. You either born again or you ain't. Amen. Hey, Revelation tells us, amen, he said, I would you be hot or cold? He said, but because thou art lukewarm, he said, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. You know what that means? He said, I'd rather be saved or I'd rather even be lost than to straddle the fence. And by the way, they ain't really no fence straddling. Amen. You either saved or you're lost, but if you're trying to come in any other way, if you're trying, hey, that lukewarmness makes God sick. I'm telling you tonight, amen, listen, wasted youth, you'll never get over. I mean, there's some people, amen, hey, let me just say, don't waste the youth. Youth, hey, our young people that want a little bit we got here, don't waste the youth. Amen, live for the Lord. Yeah, hey, you say, some people say, well, I want to sow my old wild oats. Amen, let me tell you something. You better, hey, you really need to remember him while, amen, that you're young. Amen, hey, get what you're going to do for the Lord while you're young. Because I got news for you. I'm 48 years old, and the older I get, amen, I ain't the man I used to be. And that's the same way it'll be spiritually speaking. Amen. There's things, amen, hey, that I've missed out on. I wish I'd have took advantage of spiritually. Can I get a witness there? Not only that, don't waste your middle years. Amen. That don't leave you out. It don't. Hey, don't waste your adult years. Amen. We get some age on us and we think, well, amen, I'll just sit back and we'll let the younger generation have it. That's just a cop-out. Some, amen, some of you adults, amen, quit thinking I'll just let the younger people do it, amen. You still got a job to do. You still got service to the Lord to do. And don't think, well, I can't get around like I used to or I can't do like I used to. I'm not going to be that effective, amen. Don't let the devil cheat you, amen, out of the blessing of life, hallelujah. You can waste your adult years with excuses. Their wasted, wicked life. I believe there's some, amen, that forfeited, amen, their opportunity to be a deacon. I believe there's some people, amen, that's forfeited, amen, their opportunity to be a pastor. I believe there's some people that's forfeited their, amen, their opportunity to be a preacher, amen, a carrier of the gospel. I'm talking about to preach and to pastor, amen, and to deacon. You say, well, why do you say that, preacher? Amen, because, amen, the wicked life, amen, and the sinful life that they've lived, and they've let the devil control their life, they've disqualified themselves. What could have God had for a lot of people, amen, but now it's disqualified. Oh, by the way, they still qualifications to be a deacon. There's still qualifications to be a pastor. Just anybody can't stand behind the pulpit. Just anybody can't sit on the deacon board. Can I get a witness right there? There is qualifications for these. I'm saying, I believe there's some people, amen, that sin, amen, and live their wicked lives, amen, that's forfeited, amen, that opportunity that maybe God, amen, hey, would have called them to preach. Or God, amen, would have called them, amen, to the service to serve the church as being a deacon of the house of God. Now they're sitting back, amen, with wasted, amen, because they wasted their youth and because they sit in regret, amen, thinking what I could have done, amen, what the Lord could have used me as. All God's people said. But they wasted their wicked life and disqualified themselves from going for higher heights, amen. Not only, amen, you never get over your wasted youth, but you'll never get over wasted opportunities. Amen. There's wasted opportunities you'll never get over. God opens doors for us to go through. God opens doors for us to step in. Amen. All during our Christian life, amen, when God saved you, he's opened doors for you to walk through. Amen. And it's up to me and you whether we go through those doors. Amen. But some of us say, man, well, I just want to be at the church. I just want to be a member of the church preacher. I just want to sit there. I want to go home. I want to come back and I want to just do my little thing. I'll pray a little bit. I'll read my Bible a little bit. I'll do this a little bit. But let me tell you something, friend. There's greater. Just coming to church, amen, don't get it, amen. A serving God is more than coming to church. It's more. It's living your daily life, amen. Hey, out there in the world, amen. I don't want somebody's blood dripping from my hands because I didn't take advantage of the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't want, amen, sinners' blood dripping from my hands. I mean, listen, preacher, hey, I heard a story about a preacher that had two opportunities to witness to a boy. Amen, I think on the little old shoe cobbler shop, had two opportunities, the preacher said, that God had gave him. Matter of fact, he said, God had told me that the track that I had was for that man. He said that was for it. God told me that track I had was for that man. He said, but I started to witness and all of a sudden he was busy. And so I waited till the next day. When I went back, he said the next day I went back by the store that he owned or whatever. And he said, there's a funeral wreath. Amen. Sticking on that door. And he said, somebody asked, he said, what happened to the man? He said, didn't you hear? He said he was riding down the road and his car flipped and he died, got killed in the car accident. And he said, I missed that opportunity. Let me tell you something, friend. How many times has God spoke to us to speak to somebody else? I'm talking about in a convenience store. Don't be ashamed of God to tell the teller Jesus loves them. Do you know Jesus in the free pardon of sin? Are you 100% sure that if you died today, heaven would be your home? Amen. I'll have to say, God, forgive me. How's that an automobile place today? Amen. Shop, amen. And it seemed like I got busy and the Lord said, won't you tell him about me? And I got busy doing other things and it slipped my mind. Amen. And I come home. When I was studying for the sermon tonight, God said, hey, how about that? Now, how do I know? I hope and pray to good Lord in heaven that I don't go back tomorrow. I'm supposed to go back tomorrow. I hope and pray, amen, that I won't go back tomorrow. Amen. And they tell me, oh, you know such and such. Amen. Got killed last night. You know what? Hey, that ought to burden your heart. That ought to burden your soul. I don't want somebody's blood, amen, hanging, amen, dripping from my hands. Wasted opportunities. How many times does God say, now? You can't tell me, if you're a born-again child of God, you can't tell me every once in a while God says, tell them. Amen. I'm not talking about, hey man, I'm not talking about every time you meet somebody. I'm not talking about if you're not careful, the enemy will make you, hey man, make you worry yourself to death. What am I going to say? Or I've got to tell everybody I come in contact with. You can't tell everybody you come in contact with. Attrition is important, amen, that you live that life in front of them. But that, hey, those wasted opportunities. We got family members, amen, and our cop-out of this is it's so hard to talk to my family member. That's a cop-out. It may be hard, but you don't use that as an excuse not to do it. Can I get a witness right there? I'm talking about speaking to them plain. I'm not talking about offending them, but I'm talking about loving them. Loving them into the house of God. Loving them. I was listening to, I think it was a David Jeremiah program or one of them programs the other day. And he's talking about a lesbian that was on there. She gave her heart and life to the Lord and said that she's lived beside this couple for years and years and years. And said to this couple that lived beside me, I guess it's the wife, well, no, it was a preacher, I think. And his wife lived beside, and through years and years and years, I mean, they wasn't down in her. They just loved her. They just talked to her. They just give her Jesus when they could. And was a family, was a friend to her. Hey, man, listen, hey, you listen to this preacher. I'm not talking about cramming it down their throat. I'm not talking about every time you see her or condemn. By the way, first of all, we can't condemn them. But she went ahead to say that that couple loved her. That couple stuck with her. Amen. And didn't let, amen, her lifestyle. Didn't let, amen, her. Listen to me, friend. Every homosexual, every lesbian, amen, is welcome to going home Free Will Baptist Church. Boy, you better get on board right there. Amen. Why? Why, preacher? Let me tell you something. That lady, amen, that we witnessed to that day, you remember, brother? Went to the door and the lady said, hey, man, what if I got lesbian friends? She was pushing me to, she put me to the test. What if she comes to church? I said, listen, I love her. I don't love what she's doing. I'm not condoning, amen, her sin. I love her, amen, but I don't love the sin she's in. But she said something about, in other words, she thought I wouldn't allow her to come because we preach against that lifestyle. I said, listen, friend, I love them. I love every homosexual. I love every sinner, amen. And we just don't love their sinning. They're welcome in God's house. Then she put a little bit further and she said, well, what if they, and what she was trying to do was, she said, what if they come and they try to disrupt your service or they try to take over your service? In other words, and before she got anywhere, and I said, take over the service? She said, yeah. I said, that won't happen at Going Home Church. Her husband, before I even said that, looked at her and said, what? What are you talking about, trying to take over the service? I said, because listen, it's one thing to be welcome at Going Home Church, but there's another thing. I'm the pastor, and they ain't nobody going to do that. Now, you deacons going to back me up? They ain't going to take it. There's a door there, and there's a door here. Somebody say amen. We'll love them, but they ain't going to cause trouble. All God's people say it. I mean, hey, I'm not going to let the devil come in here and tear it up. I'm the shepherd. Under the shepherd, amen. I'm the under shepherd. You're my sheep. And I see a wolf trying to come in, I'll kill it. If I don't kill it, I'll wound it real bad and it'll think twice about coming back in here. All God's people say it. Why? I love you. Hey, if I know evil's trying to get a hold of Sarai, I'll just gonna call you Sarai. How about that? That's, you know me. Hallelujah. If I know a wolf's trying to get her and the devil's on her trail, it's my duty to try to help her. It's my duty, amen, hey, to blow the whistle on the wolf. Amen. You better be aware of those that comes to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, they're ravening wolves, the Bible says. Better be careful of them. That's another message. Praise the Lord. And we've had some wolves through the years. We churched one wolf, didn't we, church? Yeah. I called the devil that night, too. You said, preacher, you're awful mean. Hey, if they're a devil, they're a devil. You call them out. All God's people said. Let me tell you something. You don't allow the enemy to come in. You don't let the wolf. Hey, you said, preacher, I didn't know there's a wolf. Well, I didn't either. Till it raised its head. And then I blowed it off. In the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness? Nothing that I've done. Let me tell you something, though. The wolf right then was trying to take this church. The wolf right then was trying to destroy everything this church had. Aren't you thankful? Amen. Hey, I'm glad the sheep, amen, knows the shepherd. Can I get a witness right there? Before I left that night, I don't know why I'm having to go over this again, but before we left that night, I said, listen, here's their phone number. Here's their phone number. I give her phone number out, and I said, if it calls you, you better not answer it. Because if you do, you're a busybody. And boy, you got a lot of busybodies. Christian busybodies. That ain't no more in touch with God. You want the devil done? I said, listen, if that number comes up on your phone, don't answer it. If you're confronted, amen, out in public, don't give them the time of day. You said, preacher, you've been confronted with them in public. Yeah, and I didn't give them the time of day. Amen. I was this close to them. Well, preacher, wasn't you nice to them? Why should I be? I ain't going to be nice to the devil. They owed me an apology. They owed the church an apology. All God's people said. Then there's been times, amen, I've run face to face. Almost ran in. What'd you do? Hello? Move on. Amen? I was as courteous as I needed to be. All God's people said. Church ain't aware of this one, but I had one other. This is a whole totally different situation, but I had to confront the devil one time, another time. And I had to just go tell this lady to shut up in Jesus' name. I told her she better never do what she'd done again. Can I get a witness? Now you're probably thinking, what did she do? Now stop. Let it go. Stop right there. Don't worry about it. The devil will start putting junk in your mind. Can I get a witness there? And it ain't what you think. I didn't put it that way. Matter of fact, it ain't nothing what you just thought. All God's people said. Why am I having to do this? There's some things, amen, in this life, listen to me, that you will never get over. Those opportunities that God has given you to talk to your family, to love your family, amen. I'm talking about opportunities in the Lord that He's opened up that door and you failed to take that step into it, amen. I'll say this, not only that, some things you never get over, thirdly, is that willful neglect of your children. That willful neglect of your children you'll never get over. Don't know why God's wanting me to preach here. Bible says, train up a child when it's old, when it's old, it not depart from it. I mean, I quoted it exactly. What's that mean, preacher? I've raised my children in church and now they're wicked. They're living in sin. That don't mean, amen, that they're not going to do that. That means, here's what I think that means. That means that if you train up that child in the way it should go, and the fear and admonition of the Lord, amen. And when they get old, when the Bible says they'll not depart from it, if they're living out there in sin and wicked life, I believe they'll remember the Sunday school teacher, amen, that mom and dad took them to. I believe they'll remember, amen, that preacher, amen, when he got up and he preached the gospel. Amen, the training in the Lord, they'll never get over that. They'll never, amen, forget that. If they die and go to hell, they'll never forget that. I'm saying, amen, those willful neglect of your children. I'm talking about, listen, when you have no time for your children. Here's what I hate more than anything. I ain't that old, but I've seen it happen. I've heard it. Pushing your kids on other people just to get them out of my hair. First of all, get right with God and you won't want them out of your hair. Boy, that's okay. Get them out of the high. And I'll tell you another thing I don't like. A face ain't to be smacked. You can agree with me or disagree with me. That ain't what God made a face for. Now say amen right there. Some of you want to. Amen. I believe that's what the backside's for. Some of you don't even believe in that. Some of them don't even believe in that. I ain't never been in time out in a day in my life. Never. Was you? I never was said, go to timeout. It didn't work in my house. Unless you call this timeout. She said, when your daddy gets home. And if that was timeout, I'd rather have got me up and whipped me right then because I'd be playing and boy, I'd be having a good time. All of a sudden, I'd remember, Daddy's coming home. And that's worse than a whooping. And there's a difference between a whipping and a whooping.
Hallelujah. Them whoopings is when that belt comes out of them belt loops and he folds that thing up and he wears you out. And you're going, you cry. How many's ever happened? How many's ever been there? Trying to catch your breath? Because you're crying so hard, you couldn't get your breath. Then I come around the corner one day, one of the foster kids, I said, sharing it with the brother the other night. Hey, mom and dad kept foster kids, and he was bad to hold his breath. Hey, Mom Jackie, I'll never forget this. Hey, man, he's bad to hold his breath. I come around the corner of the house one day, and we was outside. Here he, daddy had Jackie up by the heels, and he was shaking him. And I didn't know what he was doing. I thought he was killing him. I said, kill him, daddy, just kill him. Amen. That scared me to death. But I didn't want him to kill him neither. It just came out that way. All God's people say it. But I'm talking about, listen to me. Hey, I'm talking about willful neglecting your kids. God gave you your children as a gift from heaven. What I don't like, amen, is people wanting to shove them off. Amen. What I don't like, amen, listen to me. If God gave them to you, they're all important. And this willful neglect, amen. I may have spent the night away from home, not because mom and dad wouldn't let me, because I had a home life. I didn't want to stay with nobody. Amen. I may have stayed away from home twice in my life. Why is God doing this tonight? I know you've heard me preach it some, but I'm saying, listen to me. Hey, I had a good home life, but now you got kids, amen, they dread going home. I'm talking about this willful neglect, amen, neglecting your children, amen. Hey, take time. Hey, mom and dad, hey, quit. Kids, all they're wanting to stay in time is mom's attention, dad's attention. We got a day and hour now, man. They have to compete for mama's attention. They got to compete for daddy's attention. Why? Because their mind's on everything else, on these cell phones and all. You better love them. I've told my daughter, you better pay attention to your kids right now. It's the greatest time of your life, and you don't even realize it. I know you don't realize it. I didn't realize it. Amen. I didn't realize it when Savannah was these grandbaby size. Amen. I was young. Amen. I was growing up with them. Amen. But boy, get a little age on you. You wait till grandbabies come. You too. I know it. You still got them a coming. I said I was going to get married young. I did. I said, I was going to have kids young. I had one. And I said, I was going to grow up with them. And I did. But that's a mistake in one way. Now, I don't regret getting married young. I don't regret having kids young. But having them young, I was just a baby myself. So you was 18-year-old. Still a baby. And I can only imagine her mama having one at 14. Somebody help me? Two by the time she was 16. And I'm thinking, I was young at 18. You've got to wait to 30, 35. But listen to me, you wait on the Lord. Got time. And brother, you'll still enjoy them at 70-year-old. I ain't waiting, he said. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about, listen to me, that's some scars. You say, preacher, I don't understand that. If I was to go, you'd be surprised just out of this small congregation tonight, regrets that maybe some of these parents, I don't know. You'd be surprised at the regrets that people have because they willfully. Let me give you this story. Mother had three sons. She called the pastor. She was on her deathbed. She said, preacher, I wonder if the Lord will forgive me. It wasn't because of the didn't give her heart and life. She said, I'm saved. She said, but preacher, if you can go down here, she said, if you can go down here, he said, one of my sons is down here, and I believe it was at the time she was telling them, amen, or died drunk. He said he died drunk, amen, on alcohol. He said, I got one son that's in a mental institution down the road. I got one that's over here in jail. She said, I wonder if God will forgive me for neglecting my kids. Let me tell you something, friend. Willful neglect of our children. I don't want to be guilty of that. I love my granddaughter. Let me tell you something. Neglecting her is not withholding the rod. Let me just say this. Amen. Neglecting can be withholding the rod. You need some whoopings. You need to remember that. When you get a whipping, it's because Pawpaw loves you. Meemaw loves you. Mom and Daddy loves you. You listening? Are you listening? So the next time you get a whooping, you love me? But when you hold that, you withhold that. Nowadays, amen, I know it's a different society, different generation we're living in. But listen, don't withhold that rod. All God's people said, that correction. I'll be honest, I was made to go to church. How many of us made to go to church? I was made. Let me tell you, it didn't hurt me. I can't say as a little boy I liked every time I went. I didn't. Ryan, I didn't like. I called him Chris a while ago. Chris, Ryan, his daddy was my best friend for many years. Was my best friend. Got killed at Cross Mill Cotton Mill. When the door flew off of the Cross Mill Cotton Mill on them machines, that was his daddy. That was his daddy. One of my best friends. And let me just say, I love you, Ryan. Thank you for coming. If I call you Chris, you are Chris. Hallelujah. I was made to go. How many was made to go? I know I just asked that. Raise your hand again. Made to go. That didn't hurt you, Keith. You might not have liked it. How about it, Rita? You might not have liked every time you had to go. My daughter couldn't figure out why we couldn't have a normal life. She told her mama or her nanny that, why can't we just have a normal life? And I'm thinking, you know why it wasn't normal? It's because she was tucked to church. Don't neglect your children. Listen, even in my lost condition, I'm glad, listen, when I went and my mom and dad made me go, even lost condition, and I was made to go, I'm glad seed fell on good ground, amen, because mom and dad took me to the house of God, amen. You neglect your children, amen, when you don't give them Jesus and have him first in all things in their life, you neglect your children. You teach your children that anything else of this world, sports, anything, if you put that before God in his house, you're teaching them that this is second place. Amen. Fourthly, some things you never get over. A warped mind. A reprobate mind. See, in John 12:39, the Bible says that they could not believe. I'm thankful I believed one day. But there's some people that cannot believe. Romans 1 talks about that reprobate mind. Hey, man, listen. Hey, I never forget a story, man. A preacher was telling that he put a boy in Broughton. His mom had him put in Broughton. I'm talking about right here in Morganton, North Carolina. Hey, man, because, hey, man, he said he went crazy over the Bible. He went crazy over religion. Hey, man, went crazy. Hey, man, over God. Let me just say this. You can't go crazy over this book. I didn't get a big enough amen right there. You can't go crazy and your mind meditated upon this word of God. There ain't no way. But said that the mom had him admitted, hey man, committed, amen, to Broughton, Broughton, Morgan, of North Carolina. Preacher said that he visited him. He said it's probably 2 years before he went down there to visit him. Said he finally went and visited him, and the doctor took him, amen, to this boy named Odell. His name was Odell. Said he said, preacher, he said, I've given them shock treatments. He said, I've given them shots, serum. I've given them all kind of stuff. Amen, in this place. And he said, but this old boy has made a difference in this place. Said he's done more than shock treatments do. He said he's done more, amen, than shots and this all this stuff done. He said he opened the door. And he said over there in the corner stood Odell, if I remember right. Said he stood Odell. And he said Odell was standing over there in the corner singing, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. Hey, if you got God on your side, amen. Hey, if God be for you, who can be against you? Preacher said he walked over to Odell and said, Odell looked at him and said, preacher, have you ever been through the fire? Preacher said, well, no. He said, the Lord had been good to him. I ain't nearly suffered that much. And he said, I ain't never been through the fire. He said, no. He said, preacher, you'll never be no good until you go through the fire. He said, preacher, don't you feel sorry for me? He said, this is my mission field. He said, you see over there? He said, this man had been in a straitjacket. Said they brought him in a straitjacket. And said, I sung hymns to him and read him the Bible until he got saved. He said, I sung hymns to him, read him the Word of God till he gave his heart and life to the Lord. And he said, look at him now. He is over there. He said, he's over there reading the Bible. And he said, come on over here. He said, this man was violent. He's just real violent, man. And he said, Odell went over there and said, the boy reached out and touched him so tender and said, Odell, hey, he said, sing that song. One of them told Odell, said, sing it. Odell told him, said, sing that song. And he said, tears are flowing down his face. And said, that boy that used to be so violent sat there crying, said, Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. He said, and he told him, he said, he'd done more to this place than anything could be. He said, look over here, preacher. He said, this man was, he said, take him to another cell. Doctor said he'd take him down to another cell and said, if I understood right, couldn't keep nothing in his cell. They had to make some kind of special cot or blanket or something for him to lay on. If I understood right, probably, I don't think he could keep clothes on him. And he said, can I talk to him? He hollered in there and said, hey, can I talk to you? And he told him, I'm a preacher. He said, can I tell you that Jesus loves you? And just told him Jesus loved him, give him that he cared for him. He said, the man walked up to the cell and said, preacher, he said, you see those bugs? He said, you see those rats on the walls over there? He said, son, he said, there ain't no bugs on the wall. He said, there ain't no rats on the wall. He said, preacher, if you ain't careful, he said, they will bite you. He said, they'll bite you. The doctor said, you know what's wrong with him, preacher? He said, he's got a reprobate mind. The preacher said, where do you get words like that? What gives you the right to say words like that and use such language? He said, it means a reprobate mind means like a rock, unchangeable. Preacher said, yeah, but in Romans chapter 1, Bible says that God gave him over to a reprobate mind. The doctor looked at him and said, I never knew that was in the Word of God. Let me tell you something, friend. There's some things you'll never get over. You better thank God right now. Listen, that reprobate mind is something you can never get over. You better thank God right now that you got a mind that you can think right. You better thank God. Hey, I prayed, Lord, thank you for letting us be in our right mind. Hey, I've been through some things. I thought, Lord, I've even prayed, God, help me not lose my mind. Amen. You ever been to that point where you pray, God, not let you lose your mind? I mean, I've said, God, whatever you please, let me keep my sanity. God, let me keep my mind. You better thank God right now. You got a mind to be in the house of the Lord. There's some things you can't get over. Angie, would you come to the piano? In Psalm 19, the Bible talks about the great transgression. In 1 John chapter 5, verse number 6, the Bible talks about a sin that's unto death. In other words, that means that there's a sin that the death angel's attached to. Huh? Sin unto death? All God's people say it? Story about a man that killed his two kids. Killed them. Said preachers tried to help him. Said they'd go by and try to talk to him. Give his heart and life to the Lord. He said he told the preachers that. He said the death sentence was over my head. He said, preacher, the death sentence on my head. I've committed the sin unto death. Let me just say this, folks. If you cross the deadline. And I believe there is a deadline that you can cross. And I believe when you cross that deadline, there's no coming back. I believe there's a sin unto death. Now, you can disagree with me or not. I had a preacher friend of mine, used to preach, and he told me about a man in Waynesville, North Carolina. Was I not right, Angie? Richard Wilde told me this. Waynesville, North Carolina. And said that he was on the courthouse lawn. And said there's a preacher there preaching, and he said the man come up to the man and said, if your God's real, I'm going to quote, if your God's real, and if he's really real, let him strike me dead in 2 minutes. Within 2 minutes. He said the man looked at his watch, counted off 2 minutes. He said during that 2 minutes, he said that he knocked something off his face. 2 minutes ended. Wasn't dead, but he said before the sun went down, the man was dead. Now you say, preacher, what happened there? I believe the man. It's my opinion. I believe the man crossed God's deadline. I believe he got to that place to where he had that sin unto death. I believe you can sin away your day of grace. Amen. I don't know who this in this small congregation, who this message is for tonight. But I want us to stand our feet. I'd like for every head to be bowed, every eye closed. And I feel like I'll give to you what God's told me to give you. I may be a little long-winded tonight, but listen, preacher. Let me just say this. If you cross a deadline, there is a sin unto death. David found forgiveness, but he had a sword in his house the rest of his life. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus and the free pardon of sin, if you're here tonight, maybe you want to come and say, God, help me be a better mom, a better dad, a better husband, a better wife.